New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
The inspired Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians deals over and over again with the Lord's wonderful church. We have quoted on several occasions the passage from Matthew 16 where our Lord Jesus said, after Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This very passage of Scripture, if this is the only one we had to go with, there is a wonderful, wonderful wealth of information in this Matthew 16 passage. First of all, Jesus was the one that was doing the speaking, and He was the one that was going to do the building. Not only was He doing the speaking, and was He the one that was going to do the building, but He used the personal tense when He said, I will build my church. And then He gave a powerful promise that nothing would prevail against the church. Hades, death, hell, nothing will prevail against the church. There's been times when the church has suffered. There's been times when the false prophets have come on the scene and have diverted what they call the church. And they've given the church other names and they've followed through with other doctrines. But the original church, as it's founded on the basis of the Word of God, will never change. And God is coming after that church when He sends His Son back into the world. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about the glory of the church and what God had done for Jesus Christ and how that God had exalted Him. Ephesians 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, talking about the exalted position of Jesus, quote, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Leading up to this powerful statement on the subject of the church, we need to go back to the opening of this powerful book of Ephesians. It's a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul was writing from prison, not knowing whether he was going to live or die. He never had concerns for his own physical well-being, but he was concerned about the church. And so he addressed the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it simply states, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and the called in Christ Jesus. In lessons in the past, we have talked about what the Bible says about the saints. If you don't want to know what the Bible says about saints, if you want to understand the truth about saints, don't go to the church. Don't go to Protestantism if you want to know about saints. Don't go to Romanism if you want to learn about saints. Don't go to the bishops or the pastor or the preacher or the pope or the cardinal or the prelate if you want to learn about saints. If you want to learn about saints, go to where the saints are described and referred to. Go to the book of Origins. Go to the Bible. And as we go to the Bible, we find that the Christians are described as saints. Whenever an individual was born again of water and the Spirit and was added by the Lord to the church, he was referred to as a saint. And so Paul was talking to living, vibrant Christians that he loved here in Ephesians 1, verse 1, and he refers to them as saints. Then he says in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in Thee, Beloved. The Bible teaches that God planned the church from before the foundation of the world. What's the purpose of the sun, the moon, and the stars? Why, bless your heart, it's the kingdom of God. Why do the oceans ebb and flow? It's all because of God's great love, and it all has to do with the kingdom of God. Why do we have nations scattered around the world? God put them there. God scattered them there. He scattered the nations, and He gave them their language. But the purpose for the whole universe, the bottom line, is the kingdom of God. When Jesus comes after His church, there'll be no more need for the oceans to ebb and flow. When Jesus takes His church out of the world, there'll be no more need for the sun. When Jesus takes His church out of the world, there'll be no more need for this physical earth. It'll be burned up, the Bible says. And so everything is wrapped up in the Lord's church. Then He describes these Ephesians and their redemption down in chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom you trusted. This is referring to Jesus. The preceding verse, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Many Bible scholars and many ministers and pastors and preachers and evangelists, many radio preachers today and many faith-only preachers would take verse 13 and apply it to simply believe and you'll be saved. But we need to go back to the situation that describes the conversion of these Ephesians. Notice verse 13 again. In whom also you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When did these Ephesians become sealed with the Holy Spirit? When did they receive the Holy Spirit after they believed? Go back to Acts 19, where Paul was preaching to these very Ephesians. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. He said, what kind of baptism did you receive? They said, the baptism of John the Baptist. And those of you that are Bible students realize that John's baptism, though he baptized for the remission of sins, his baptism wasn't associated with the gift of the Spirit. And so the ones that were immersed by John were scripturally immersed, and then they received not only remission of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they said, we've not heard of the Spirit. He said, what kind of baptism did you receive? They said, the baptism of John the Baptist. And then the Bible teaches that John the Baptist's baptism was no longer valid and void. It was void, and they were scripturally baptized again. This time, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then God is glorifying Jesus and telling what He had done through Jesus. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. We learn here that God has exalted Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18, all authority. Jesus was speaking. He said, all authority, meaning all power and authority, hath been given unto me. It all belongs to Jesus. It all belongs to the Son of God. He is the Savior. He's the hope. And here He's described, and He's in the lofty, exalted position, and it is stated by heaven that God had made Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. And He says, which is His body. And so God caused Jesus to be the head over the church. Well, no wonder Jesus built the church. It wears His name. He's the one that adds to the church. He's in charge of the church. He dictates to the church. He's given the church her marching orders. He's given the church her organization. It's all in the Bible. He's given the church the plan of salvation. It's all in the Word of God. Everything about the church that God wants us to know comes through Jesus. And we have the description of it right here on the pages of the Word of God. And here God has made Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Whenever someone is characterized as being head of the church other than Jesus, it's heresy. When someone says that some man is the head of the church, it is heresy. There's no Bible on earth that points out anything but that Jesus is the only head of the church. There are men that like the exalted position. They love to robe themselves, and there are some that brag about and boast about the authority they have in the church. But my friends, no pope, president, bishop, pastor, preacher, deacon, or elder has any authority whatsoever. All authority belongs to Jesus. And the Bible says that God had made him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And so when the Lord added on the day of Pentecost to the church, the ones that had obeyed the gospel, they looked to Jesus as their head. When I was baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, after I put my faith in the Lord, and after I received the gift of the Holy Spirit when I was immersed back in Delaware in my home church, the Ocean View Church of Christ, I was taught that Christ was my head. I was not taught that denominationalism was my head. I was not taught that the denominational headquarters was my head. I was not taught that Protestantism was my head or that Romanism is my head. I was taught that Christ is the head of the church. He's in charge of the church. He's the head of your life. He's in charge of your soul. You're going to give an account to him. And so the Bible says he's the head of the church and the church is his body. In what sense is the church his body? There's one thing for sure. No more can we ever say the church is not important. It is of extreme importance. It is the only institution that's going to be taken out of this world and saved. And so we must be in the church of our Lord. We must be in the church described in the Bible if we're going to be redeemed. And Jesus is the head of the church, and I thank God that he is the head, and the headquarters of the church is where the head is. And if the headquarters of the church you belong to is any place other than heaven, spin stones going out of the parking lot and go someplace else and search for the truth. Find the truth. I'm not inviting you to come to me. I'm not saying I'm right and everybody else is wrong. I'm saying if we don't follow God, we're all wrong. And we're only right when we follow the scriptures. We're only right when we follow the word of God. And so let's sweep aside creeds and catechisms and man-made dogmas. Let's sweep aside denominationalism and Romanism and Protestantism, and while there's much good in many of these organizations, the modern man-made names and doctrines and creeds and catechisms confuse. Let's get rid of all of the man-made and go back and stand on the God-made. Let's stand on the Word of God where Jesus is the head of the church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8 and going on down to the end of the chapter, the Bible talks about the glory of Jesus and ends up describing how that he is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so we learn that Jesus was going to build the church in Matthew 13. We learn that he is the head of the church, made head of the church by God in Ephesians chapter 1. Then in chapter 5, we learn that Christ is in total control of the Lord's church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Discussion on the subject of husbands and wives is a subject for another time, but here the Lord is primarily talking about the church. And in verse 23, it explains that Jesus is the head of the church, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The Bible says in verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," the church is to be subject unto Christ, not unto man, but unto Christ. Where does our time go? It's gone. Tune in next week. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And as we close this broadcast, may it be a blessing to everyone. And I pray that people will with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.